Stay where you are. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. Here's Al Barbarino, Dr. Tony.
Our good friend, and we love him.
Flows as a gentle breeze.
By the way, very quickly, he's not only a great singer, he's a dynamic speaker, and he's speaking in all the parishes.
He's wonderful.
I love the guy.
Does he pay him for this time?
Nope. Free commercial. You're so mean, Karma.
I do my best.
Jesus wants to
but we love you.
If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him every day.
Well, Tony, that's Al.
Yes.
And in case anyone doesn't know, this is my buddy, Dr. Tony Schifo.
And that was my buddy, Dr. John Palmer.
And we're the two young children who do their best to raise up the spirit inside of you and get you to try to want to belong to Jesus.
And we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
We certainly do. Hey, Tony, you know where I went this past weekend?
I'm
a traveling fool. I'm going everywhere.
I'll say.
I went to Scranton, Pennsylvania, and they had the 30th Charismatic Conference there.
The 30th?
30 years they've been doing it.
Whoa.
And they had over 2,000 people there. That was adults. They had a young adult track, and they also had a children's track going at the same time.
Wow.
All with speakers, and all being built up through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, Tony, it was an experience of a lifetime.
You think you would have taken me. You think you would have paid for me. You know how down I am.
Well, I have trouble 1 hour a week with you. And
thanks,
buddy. I have to try and get a whole weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
But I'll tell you, the campus is beautiful, and the speakers are wonderful. And I was very fortunate when I was there because I came across Caleb Buchanan. Now, Caleb is a priest from the Diocese of Brooklyn. And I know him for a long time. And what he does is what I do. He goes to adoration. He's open to the Spirit. He just teaches people again and again about the Holy Spirit. And I was walking down from adoration, Tony, and I ran into him, and he knows me well enough that I have a microphone in my back pocket. You know.
Oh, you certainly do.
And we're always thinking of this radio show.
And we're always running after people.
That's right. But I asked Caleb, would he like to be on the show? And he said, oh, of course I would, John. I'll be on the show. When would you like to do it? I said, how about now? Now? And I said, yeah. Well, what do you want to talk about? I'd like to talk about how God took over your life and how the Spirit changed you. And he gave us a wonderful personal testimony for everyone to listen to. Because, you know, what came across to me as Caleb was talking and as Father Bob Hogan talks later on and he shares his testimony, priests are people too.
Yeah.
And they have the same spirit inside of them that we have, and it's not all hearts and flowers.
And isn't it true that once the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you, he's got you?
That's right. And there's just no two ways about it. I used to, the old song, Whatever Lola Wants. And I'm
too young to know that song.
Oh, okay. But
you
now,
know it, though.
I put Whatever Jesus Wants,
yes.
Jesus gets. Yes. Resign yourself. Resign yourself. You're through. I won't sing anymore.
Okay, but that's a good song.
Oh, it is. And let's listen to Caleb. And listeners, you have to realize that some of this we just kind of wing when we sit down and talk to someone. But I think you'll listen to his interview and find him.
But this show is going to be on the Holy Spirit.
It's all on the Holy Spirit and on the charismatic renewal in particular. And you know what I know Caleb is still waiting, but the one thing that impressed me about the conference, it was multicultural. They were Haitian, they were Afro-American, they were Spanish, they were Vietnamese, they were Philippine, there were all different cultures there.
But isn't the Holy Spirit multicultural?
Sure he is.
He knows. He doesn't go through any lines or anything like that.
No, and it was just like being part of the Universal Church right there in miniature among those 2,000 people. Absolutely. Now, Caleb is going to come get me unless I put him on.
All right, put him on. Then I got questions for you.
Well, here I am at the Charismatic Conference with Father Caleb Buchanan, a dear friend.
Absolutely.
And Caleb, we'd love for you to tell our listeners, how did Jesus get into you?
It's funny, you know, sometimes people talk about Jesus affecting them in their childhood, but it really came later in life for me. It actually came after I was called to the priesthood. Yeah, it's very funny. You know, the other day I saw a movie about a priest who became a priest to find out if God was real. And I would not have understood that except for my experience. My experience wasn't as close to that, but it was somewhat similar in the sense that I was always in church as a boy, served on the altar, went to youth group meetings, generally prayerful, but really never had that direct personal encounter with Jesus until a year before my ordination, of all things, as a priest. We were sent on a 30-day retreat in Gloucester, Massachusetts, an Ignatian retreat, which is a retreat based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
You got to watch those Jesuits.
The Jesuits, you know. When they're good, they're good. And when they're good, they're good. So I had a great spiritual director named Father John Curdeus, who was like an 80-year-old Jesuit priest at the time. And he led me on this beautiful experience of the exercises of St. Ignatius. And in the course of taking the scriptures at his direction and praying over the scriptures and focusing on these contemplations of Jesus and Mary and the saints that are in the exercises, all of a sudden I found this new experience of God that I never had before, like a direct relationship with Jesus and the Father. And it was an incredible experience where my heart was open and my soul's eye was open to the mystery of who God was. And I began to really grapple with the voice of the Lord in my life. Some things I wanted to hear and were confirmed, and some things I didn't want to hear and I had to change in my life. But after the 30 days, I had a renewed relationship with Jesus in such a way that I knew he was real. I knew that he called me to a real relationship with him. And I knew he was calling me to a life of holiness. And ever since then, I've had to come back and forth to the well of that relationship as a Christian and as a priest.
And it's really amazing to find out that he's inside of you.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing?
Very powerful.
Yeah.
You know, I had heard about it throughout my religious education. You hear about the seminary, the indwelling of the Trinity. That we're tabernacles of the Spirit.
Yeah, but they're lovely words.
They're lovely words until it really impacts you.
That's right.
And I remember towards the end of that 30-day retreat, I had this contemplation where I had to close my eyes and search deep and within my own heart. And all of a sudden, I just saw this unbelievable fire of light.
Yeah.
And that was the Father, and he began to speak to me.
The burning bush.
Yes. And it was as real as you sitting right next to me, John, and it was an unbelievable experience. And it really brought to life the idea that God does live in us, that the Trinity does dwell within us, that the Spirit of God is in us. And I would like to tell all our listeners, you know, don't compare yourself to other people. I made that mistake because there were a lot of fervent people in the churches that I worked in. There were a lot of fervent seminarians when I was in the seminary, and there were even fervent priests and religious. And you read the lives of the saints, and sometimes you think, well, I don't have that particular kind of experience, so maybe God doesn't really live in me. But the best advice I think I could give is never compare yourself to other people. God dwells in you on his own terms and his own way, and every person's experience is unique, and nobody should discount their experience or their potential experience. And I've learned over the years, John, and that you have to just let God be God in your life. Let him unveil for you what his relationship with you is going to be and how he's going to manifest that in your life and how he's going to bring you to recognize it. And just cherish it for what it is. Don't worry about other people's experience or lack thereof, because only God knows what's really inside our hearts. And you know, there's a consolation and a peace that you attain when you realize this. And it's a peace that I'm not saying I have it constantly,
If you do, let me know how you do that.
Yeah, in my humanity, we all struggle.
Sure.
It's usually when I don't think I'm worthy of it, or I don't think it's real for whatever reasons. You know, we get disillusioned, we get discouraged. That's when God surprises me usually and hits me with this tremendous peace.
It comes out of left field.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't really want it. I mean, you know when you're angry sometimes,
sure,
and people want to say, hey,
I
cheer
never
up.
Get angry. You get angry, Father?
Every
I can't
now and then.
It.
I know you would never get angry, John. But, you know, sometimes I get angry. And sometimes when you're angry, you just want to be angry. And you don't want people to come along and say, hey, cheer up. You're like, you know what? Yeah. I'm enjoying being angry right now.
Same thing with being depressed, you know?
Exactly.
Some people like being depressed,
yeah,
believe it or not.
Yeah. You know, I know, you know, sometimes I listen to Dr. Phil on TV, and he'll say people sometimes are addicted to their pain and their chaos, and they don't want to surrender it sometimes. And I find him, with God's sense of humor in my spiritual life, he sometimes says, well, I don't care if you don't want the peace right now. I'm giving it to you anyway.
He told me one time, I have two things to tell you. Number one, I love you. And number two, there isn't a damn thing you can do about it.
Exactly.
You know,
it's a real, you know, it's funny. I was just listening to Ralph Martin in the hall talk about, in the best of human relationships, you still have the effects of the fall and imperfection.
Sure.
And that's part of it with us, with God. Like what you're saying, John, is that in our humanity, and I know in my humanity, you know, even when God gives you a jackpot day of grace, you could still be fighting with him over it. You know, we're sitting, for the listeners who are listening, we're standing and sitting right in front of a statue of Jacob wrestling with the angel.
Oh.
And it's the idea.
Shows
that,
how observant I am.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
And, you know, it's very, it's poetic justice as we're talking, because, you know, even when God's trying to give us everything, sometimes we can put up a tremendous fight with him. And I think that that's what translates from our daily experience as Christians and as people of faith to the crises we see in the world. You know, in our own journeys, we're fighting with God. But I think the world, we're right now in the midst of a world and a society that's in an all-out war with God. And the world, you know, you could see parts of the society that really want God. You know, you hear
yep.
you know, there are young people going back to church. There are people who are searching for meaning in Christ. There are people who are going back to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. There are people going back into religious life and priesthood. There are all kinds of prayer groups that are exploding among young adults. And at the same time, you see all the bullying and the teen suicides and the
sexuality.
The sexual licentiousness and craziness that's going on. And people are not happy. The reality shows, and you see that people, the more they indulge in the flesh, the more miserable they're becoming, the more self-destructive they're becoming, the more addictive they're becoming.
Hey, Caleb, you know, I have a man in practice tells me he has a friend who on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he smokes pot,
right,
then he goes for cocaine.
Wow.
At Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday, he's got a hangover. So my suggestion to him, if we catch him Wednesday, I guess that's the best day to get him.
Exactly. It's definitely the best day to get him.
But he claims that the man thinks he's happy, and he knows he's not.
Yeah. If he was really happy, he wouldn't be telling everybody.
That's right, and he wouldn't be using the stuff he's using.
Yeah.
I'd rather be addicted to Jesus. How about you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a profound awakening in our lives, and I've experienced this when you focus on the Lord and you let him take care of all your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a high that you can't attain from any drug or any form of alcohol or any kind of gambling or sex addiction. It's a high that just comes with life and being alive in Christ and being a hearer of his word and a doer of his word. And I think a lot of us just, we're either at certain times in our lives ready to hear it or not ready to hear it. But whether we're ready or not to hear it, it's good to, when we do hear it, to store it in the back of our mind and in our hearts, because when the time comes and it hits us, we'll be able to embrace it and run with it.
It's almost like playing hide and seek, and Jesus says, ready or not,
here I come. Exactly.
Now, amen. You've just been made a pastor.
Yeah. You know, John, it's the thrill of a lifetime.
I bet.
I feel like, I feel like, you know, I was in the NBA draft and I got picked, you know, to go to some great team. And the reason I say that, and I want the listeners to hear this, because I know sometimes they don't really realize that their spiritual leaders have the same ups and downs they do, sometimes even worse. Mm-hmm. And I had a real dark storm in my priesthood about a few years ago. I had a parish out in Brooklyn, and it was the first time I was a pastor, an administrator, and, you know, I was inexperienced, and I had some great touchdowns, but I ended up not doing so well because I was just learning the job. And it led to a great depression in my priesthood. I started doubting myself as a priest and as a shepherd. You know, whether I was really capable of being a good diocesan priest. And I went through this incredible storm. And I came out of the storm. Last year and a half, I went through a massive awakening experience in another assignment. And I became an associate pastor for a while just to find myself. And the other day, the bishop of the diocese called me in and he said, you know, I want you to think about the possibility of being a pastor. And at the time, I told him I never wanted to do it again because I didn't want the headaches of... I just want to be a priest,
yeah,
and just pray with people and be a shepherd and a teacher in the faith. And the bishop was very good. He kind of looked at me and said, I hear what you're saying, so don't worry about it. And he said, I'll call you in a few weeks and we'll talk about other things. Well, he called me in a few weeks ago and said, you know, you're going to be a pastor. And you're going to be the pastor of St. Lawrence in East New York. And John, what was so funny was, as much as I was kicking and screaming in the prior meeting, as soon as he said, you're going to be a pastor, I said, thank you, I want it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And I say that to people because it's been ever since that happened and I accepted the appointment, I feel like I've been on the Miss America tour. I've just been so happy, so joyful. I'm so excited.
I can see the crown.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like, everybody's saying like, wow. And I want to say to people who are listening that, you know, yeah, we do get real disappointments, and we do fail, and we do make mistakes, and we do fall off the horse. But the most important advice I could give based on my experience is, you know, when you pull back, you might give up on yourself, but don't give up on God. Mm-hmm. And don't give up on what God sees in you. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when you think you're done, you want to throw in the cards, God has other plans, and sometimes he just needs that time. In my experience, I just needed to give him the time to heal me,
yeah,
and mend my wings again.
Yeah.
And he did, and I've never been so happy in all my priesthood. I met the people in my parish the other day and the leaders. I can't wait to get to St. Lawrence. I'll be installed sometime in October.
Okay.
And I just want to tell the listeners to, you know, that... One, be easy on people and on priests and on other lay people when they fail, because nobody really wakes up in the morning and say, yeah, I just want to go crash this airplane. You got to give people the benefit of the doubt and pray for them when they're down. And also, the second thing I would say is pray for their turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gave me a massive turnaround and brought me through an incredible battle with darkness.
And nobody would know you were going through that.
No.
It's all internal.
Yeah. People don't know. And they presume, like, I know, John, with you leading in the charismatic movement, you know, people don't understand as leaders, we have our own hidden darkness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, thank God for the grace of the office that we hold,
sure,
as ministers in the vineyard, because God kind of protects us and allows us to keep somehow plugging along with the people. But they don't see beyond all that we still, we could soak our pillows just as much as anybody else at night.
I swallow mine. I don't know how to tell you that. I just swallow the pillow.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit, though.
After a while. Yeah, that's when you realize, okay, I still need Jesus to heal some of this because I won't be able to do it on my own.
Caleb, thank you for giving us time.
Oh, we'll John, thank you.
We'll let you know when this is on, and good luck with your pastor.
Thank you so much, John. God bless you and your listeners.
John, what a wonderful interview. Really was.
And a wonderful priest.
Very inspirational, but you know something? He hit the nail on the head. Saint Ignatius told us that we go through cycles of dissolution.
Yeah.
And when we go through dissolution, we're very down on ourselves. But it's secular. After dissolution comes consolation and happiness. But we do go through those cycles of dissolution, and we shouldn't give up on ourselves when we go through that cycle.
And it's not just what he talked about.
Exactly.
He gave us a living example of a priest who didn't know God, really, until after he became a priest.
Absolutely.
And then also how God picked him up when he was down and felt like a failure.
But besides that, priests are human beings,
that's
just
right.
Like you and me.
Yeah, well, I hope they're not like me. But
well, and they go through the same stuff
that
we go through.
And we don't realize that.
And we don't realize it. That's right.
And you know, the other thing I'm much aware of from knowing so many priests, they are attacked spiritually constantly.
Oh, and weren't the saints?
I know.
Wasn't Padre Pio attacked?
Yeah.
Well, they were all attacked one time or another.
Yeah.
And aren't you attacked?
All the time.
All the time.
But
I'm not saying you're a saint, but I mean, you know.
But I deserve it. But listen, you have a saint of the day who I think is really quite special.
Yes.
And it's really a saint of the Holy Spirit, because he was touched by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we know...
It's going to be St. Paul.
You better believe it.
And St. Paul, you know what gets me about him?
Sorry.
Okay, you could lower it a little bit more. Yeah. But you know what I got with St. Paul when I was studying it? Jesus confronted St. Paul and gave him the Holy Spirit. But he didn't do it like I know the way he usually does it, nice and gentle. He did it like bing, bang, boom, and gave a knockout punch.
Yeah.
And so that's a little different. That's a little off the path of Jesus, but he had a reason for it. So let's talk about him.
Go ahead.
St. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, was a martyr, one of the greatest missionaries, one of the greatest mystics and theologians in the history of the church. He wrote, I think, 15 books in the Bible and wrote constantly.
And you know, Tony, he was killing Catholics and Christians.
But let me finish. Don't
go ahead.
Don't take my thunder.
Okay.
But he wasn't always like that.
Okay.
He was born in Turkey, but he was a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm.
That means something. And he sort of took glee when he saw the Gentiles and the Christians being martyred. And he loved it when Saint Stephen was being stoned to death. Loved it, took his clothes. And it gave him inspiration to do more. So what did he do? He ran into the houses of the Christians and attacked them,
mm-hmm.
dragged them out,
mm-hmm.
and had them martyred.
Mm-hmm.
Then one fine day, he decides to go to Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on his horse, and all of a sudden a sharp light glitches, and someone goes in front of him and says to him, Paul, his name wasn't Paul then.
Saul.
Why are you persecuting me? Why are you martyring my people? And a big light flashed, and he fell off his horse because the horse got scared, and he was blind. And that was Jesus. He knew that was Jesus. And Jesus tells him to go to a certain town, tells him to see a certain person, which he does. He's led by his followers. He leads him to the town, looks up this person, I forget the name, and this person says to him, you will see again.
Oh, that's Ananias.
Ananias, that's the guy.
Yeah. Can you imagine him, Ananias, was afraid to go to see Paul because he said, "Hey, Jesus, he kills Christians."
Yes, absolutely. And he went anyway. They were all leery of St. Paul. All leery of him. Anyway, he was left blind by the light. And he understood it to be Jesus. And he was taken to Damascus. And for 3 days, he was in the darkness. And he was baptized by Ananias. And his sight was restored. He left the city to spend several years, but he was told to evangelize, to be a missionary. And he met up with St. Peter. And guess what? St. Peter was afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to Jerusalem. And of course, all the apostles were skeptical. And they were convinced by Barabbas of his sincerity and his newfound love for Jesus. So Paul embarked first on his great missionary journeys in about the year 45, and he was joined by Mark and Paul, and he was forever after known as the great evangelizer of Jesus. But about the year, about 50, he set out on his second missionary journey, traveling to Asia and then to Macedonia and Greece. And in Athens, he met up with a philosopher. And before moving on to Corinth, where he remained a year, he started his third missionary journey. He journeyed to Asia Minor. He journeyed all over the place. He was evangelizing. He was sent by ship under a Roman guard because he got locked up,
mm-hmm.
only to be shipwrecked and finally tried in Rome. And he was acquitted because he was a Roman citizen. Paul's remaining years were a little obscure. It is believed that he went to Syria, Palestine, Greece, and Spain, and he was arrested once more. He was taken back to Rome and placed in a closed confinement. He wrote his expected fate in a second letter to Timothy, and his martyrdom came in the year 67 at the command of Emperor Nero, where his head was taken off. He was not crucified, like St. Peter, who was crucified upside down,
mm-hmm.
because he was a Roman citizen. And he did not deserve such an agonizing death. Thus is the story of St. Paul.
You know, it's also, besides his conversion, and of course he's the great writer that has brought the heart of Jesus alive through all of the epistles that he's written.
But 15.
I know, thank you. But also, What touches me is his whole life changed
by the Holy Spirit.
You got it.
And that's what did it. The Holy Spirit got into him and pow, that was it.
And he was changed dramatically for the rest of his life. You know, and I wanted to share something with you from conference that I was just
okay,
at.
But just let me finish.
Go ahead. One. Go ahead.
His hatred for the Christians and Jesus turned into love. Love, love.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved Jesus with all his heart and soul.
And isn't that wonderful? You know what? Where I'm going,
no, I don't.
Tony? I want to share something that was done at the conference because it's so silly. And you know how I love silly things.
Oh, I know. You're so silly yourself.
And Father Bob Hogan was talking. And this is after his very... We're going to hear his testimony in a little while. But while he was talking, they said, Father Bob has a song that he wants to share with everybody. And I said, oh, isn't that nice? We're going to hear a lovely, pious, humble song. And then he got up and he said, when Jesus gives me a song... we got to all watch out because I'm not the world's best singer, okay?
Welcome to my club.
And I'm saying, what is this man going to do? Now, you got to promise to do this. This is, and everybody at home, you have to promise to do what Father Bob says. I'm going to listen. I'm going to play it once. You listen to it, and I'll go back and I'll play it a second time, maybe, if you need it further instruction.
Are you going to really want me to sing,
though? No, no, not sing. Not sing. It's not a song. It's a rap song.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a rap. It's a Catholic rap.
Okay, but don't forget what Al Barbarino told me.
Don't sing.
Don't sing.
But listen, you got to do what he says, though.
Okay.
One hand is you and one hand is Jesus, okay? Rare. Okay, Lord doesn't give me songs so often. That's not my strength or my gift. But it goes like this. You put your two hands together.
Go ahead, everybody.
One hand is you and one hand is Jesus, okay? And you want to get a lot of Jesus in you, okay? You need a lot of Jesus in you. And it goes like this. First listen to it, then you can sing it with me. It goes like this. Jesus, 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 Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my brain, Jesus in my feet, Jesus in my hands, Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my brain, Jesus in my feet, Jesus in my hands. And the second time, instead of just sharing with Jesus, you turn to people around you and you put your hand between theirs and you share Jesus with all the around you, many, many people, okay? So first, get your hands together. It's a whole bunch of Jesuses. The Jesus in my heart, my brain,
you rub your hands.
My hands, do that twice. The second time, turn to a whole bunch of people around you. Put your hands between there, share some Jesus, turn to another person.
Oh, how's that, John?
Okay, do this at home.
Jesus, 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 Jesus in my hands. Let's share Jesus with a bunch of people.
Now do it with their people like sitting next to you at home. Get them up.
Come on, John.
Get your hands together, and you got to do this.
Come on,
2,000 people did this.
Jesus, 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 Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my brain. Jesus in my feet. Jesus in my hands. Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my brain. Jesus in my feet. Jesus in my hands. And you need to go out to all the world and share Jesus. So you got to go somewhere at least 3 miles away from you and share Jesus. Come on. Go to someone. Share the word of Jesus.
I couldn't not play that on the show because I want people to see the fun that they were having at this conference. They were having fun. Yes, it was deep. And yes, there was a tremendous healing service on Saturday night. And the presence of the Spirit there was unbelievable. The best things for me was to see some of the people had little kids with them. And they took the streamers that you circulate around in the air, and they're running through saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, a little kid doesn't really understand, but he'll remember that.
Oh, he absolutely
And
will.
She'll remember that, and it was so joyful.
And remember that name, Jesus,
yes,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yes, and then there were some people going around dancing, doing circles. Now, I know it's not something that we do at Mass, but certainly it's another way of expressing love for God.
Yeah, and in some ceremonies they do that.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, that's what it's all about. Now, Father Bob, I have to give him credit, Father Bob. You know, he really gave a wonderful sharing, and we're going to share. It's about prejudice and how he was attacked, but it's also his own personal story of how Jesus came into his life. Why don't we listen to Father Bob?
Let's listen.
Just a few
minutes.
Me too. Hope it plays.
Here in Cleveland, Ohio. And so all of us, as soon as we turn 16, we become lifeguards and we work in the summer to help pay for our Catholic education and we're spending money to help our parents out. And I was put in a city pool, and it was a neighborhood that wasn't my neighborhood. I knew some people people there from sports and from school. And they also put, in Cleveland at that time, there was a good bit of racial prejudice and racial tension in various ways. And in our part, it was mostly a white neighborhood, but it was very close to the neighborhood, there was mostly a black neighborhood. And for the pool I was working, they put three black students to work in this neighborhood that was mainly a white neighborhood. And there were a lot of people, mostly teenagers, young people, who really treated these three young two black guys and one black girl, very badly. Some to their face and some behind their backs. The one guy was kind of big and they were messing. But, you know, my parents had always taught me very well that in the Haller family, that everyone is just as important as anyone else in God's eyes. Everyone has a value. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a mission. Everyone is important. However, don't clap too quick. However, so I treated these people with the same respect and kindness and friendship that I would treat anyone else. However, I did not have the love or the courage to talk to the people who were not treating them. I did not have the love and courage to say, you wouldn't want someone to treat you that way. That isn't right, treating someone that way. Well, we were life guarding, but right next to our pool was a basketball court. And basketball at that point was like the joy of my life. I got a much better joy in a few months, okay? But basketball was the joy of my life. So when I wasn't happy on the stand, two of the black guys were pretty good basketball players. So we would go and shoot baskets and play a little bit against each other. And I guess the people who were prejudiced didn't like the fact that I was hanging out and playing basketball with these two guys. So one day I come to the pool and we had a women's locker room and a men's locker room. We each had our own locker with our lock on and all our stuff, bathing suits and towels and everything inside. So I go into my locker one day and my lock has been blown open. And I open up my locker and everything in it has been ripped up and destroyed. And there's a little handwritten sign that says, "Nigger Lover." Well, brothers and sisters, thanks be to God, I was cut to the heart. Not saying, how dare they do such a thing to me. But this was the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit yet. But it was the Holy Spirit. What cut me was, you know, if I had really stood up for them, I could be proud of this. If I had stood up and said, why are you doing that? And said something and tried to stop the injustice, I could be proud of this. Jesus says, blessed are you when you are persecuted for the sake of righteousness or for your faith. Rejoice. But I hadn't done that. I was cut to the heart. In the next months, the Holy Spirit, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. I didn't know the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was showing me lots of ways in my life that I was so controlled by fear. I mean, my parents taught me to be respectful and kind to people. And I was fairly good at it. But when it became hard to love, to have courage to do the right thing, if I thought I would be embarrassed, or if I thought people would say something bad about me, I avoided those situations with a passion. I had friends who were coming to school and their parents were going through divorce and had fights with their parents. And I knew I should just listen to them, show interest and care, but I'd be so caught in me and I wouldn't know what to say, I'll feel embarrassed. I would just avoid those situations. I was a basketball player. Some of the guys on our team they thought they were God's gift to women. They, not in a good way, believe me. But they would talk about the recent conquests of the past weekend. Well, I have three sisters, and I certainly would not want anyone talking about my sisters the way these guys were talking about the women they were with the past weekend. But I did not have the courage or the love to say something to them. And a lot of other things. God was showing me that I couldn't just justify myself by being nice and being respectful. I needed a love that was greater than that. Well, thanks be to God. At my Catholic all-boys school, we had 2,000 guys. We were the biggest all-boys school in the state of Ohio when I was there. We had retreats. All seniors had to go on a retreat. And I went on this one retreat because of this one priest. I never talked to him, never had him in class. But when we had mass in the gym, he talked about Jesus in a way that seemed so real. It was like he knew Jesus as his best friend. It just seemed so real to him. And I was touched by that because when I made my first communion in second grade, I was really touched by Jesus. I already felt a sense of calling to priesthood. I kind of put it aside for a few years, but it was there. And I had a sense, I'm receiving Jesus. In fact, I used to get up and take the early bus during school years from second to seventh grade, so I'd go to Mass. So I really was touched by Jesus. And so there's part of me that really wanted to be like Jesus. I knew deep down that was the most important thing that there is in life. Well, on this retreat, we came to a part where we're in a group, we're asked to, a small group, 15 people, and we're asked to share the good qualities we saw in each other, called an affirmation exercise. And I hated doing things like that. You know, I got my worst grades in religion. I mean, all my grades were pretty good, but because God bless me with a good mind. But at the same time, in religion, they grade you on class participation. And I was not very good at class participation. So they said, let's get in a small group and share. I'd say, oh, God, here we go again. You can see how God did great work to get me in the charismatic renewal, okay? Because I didn't like this kind of small group and talk and share all that kind of stuff at all. So they went around, and most people said very obvious things. And finally, they came to me, and I'm a little nervous about this, you know? But they said obvious things. They say, oh, he's smart. He gets good grades. He's a pretty good athlete. He played a couple sports. He's kind of shy. It takes a while to get to know him. That was an understatement, but that was true. Finally, they came to one guy. And we were not close friends, but he was God's angel for me. He was God's representative. I didn't know, but at the time, we'd always been in the same homeroom. The homeroom was run by alphabetical, not last name, not Hogan. He was Greer, so G and H were together. In my sophomore year, I had been elected classroom president, which was a disaster, because everyone couldn't stand the guy who was our brother, who was our homeroom teacher, and I was always trying to keep them from killing each other. The teacher from killing the kids, and the kids from killing the teacher. And I hated it. I never ran for anything after that. But I did make an effort, and this guy had known it, and he had gone on a tech retreat very recently, Teens Encounter Christ, and his relationship with Jesus had become alive for him. And for whatever reason, brothers and sisters, this always humbles me, but for whatever reason, when they came to him, he said, Bob Hogan is more like Jesus than anyone I know. And when he said that, my second cut to the heart happened. I started weeping. Again, not these little tiny dripping tears, but kind of weeping. Because I knew the whole truth of my life was that I wanted to be like Jesus. That's the truth of all of your lives. To become like Jesus, to let Jesus live. And it is not I who live, but Christ Jesus in me. Paul says, I live a life of faith in the Son of God who loved me gave himself for me. Well, it kind of ended our session. Let's go to the next one and see if they cried too. No. So, it kind of ended our session. But the priest, the one I had gone on because he had impressed me, how he talked about Jesus, came up to me and said, you want to talk? And so we talked. I basically told the story I just told you. What happened? And he said to me, well, it sounds like you want to be like Jesus without Jesus. I'm like, whoa. Father, you lost me here. What are you talking about here? He says, well, you want to be courageous and loving like Jesus and other-centered, but the Bible says we can't do that. That's why Jesus came and took all our sins and wounds upon himself so that by his wounds we are healed and then he can love through us. Amen? Because then he brings power steering and fuel injection, the Holy Spirit that enables us to live like Jesus lives. And I went to confession. I had been a confession of why. And he prayed with me. And at that moment, there was no big experience. But later that night, we're going to be finished our retreat. We had a little social, and the Holy Spirit was working overtime. Thanks be to God when the Holy Spirit's working overtime. I just felt I had to go to my room where we had these cots where we were sleeping. And when I was a little kid, my parents always taught me before I go to bed to kneel beside my bed and say my prayers. So I knelt down and I said, Jesus, I know I can't do it by myself. You've been showing me this, Lord. I don't love like you love. I don't have the courage that you have, Lord Jesus. But I just heard that you died for my sins, and you're inviting me to give myself to you. And if I do that, then you will give me the Holy Spirit to make this possible. So being cut to the heart, I made that prayer. That's when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right on that, so I didn't know what that meant. But I was baptized. When I said that prayer, it was like I had a valve on my heart that had all this anxiety that had been building up with me over these years. And God, Jesus turned this valve. It was a tremendous release and a sense of peace that came over me. I just knew Jesus was in that room. And brothers and sisters, from that day, and this is, should be true for all of you. If you don't experience this, ask for this this weekend. I just knew Jesus was with me. And from that day forward, sometimes I'm not focused enough to realize the truth. But if I stop, I always know Jesus is with me. I always know he's here among us as he promised. And he wants you to know that too. And I began to know the love of God in my heart. And this priest encouraged me to start reading the New Testament. So I went home, and my sophomore year we had New Testament, and after the class I stuck it in my closet for 2 years, okay? Not good leaving the Word of God in the closet, okay? Put it out on the lampstand. Let it be a lampstand. Let it be the sword of the Spirit. Let it be the joy of your heart, the light of the Lord day and night. Let his Word lift you up. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. I want to eat his Word. Amen? Love the Word of God, you know, and I opened it up. Oh, the Holy Spirit, such a good angel, such a blessing. I didn't know much about it. I opened up the Galatians. I didn't know what a Galatian was. But I opened up to that passage I just was telling you where it says, it is not I who live, but Christ Jesus in me.
John, that was a powerful, powerful talk.
Isn't that a wonderful testimony?
I'd like to make a few comments about it.
Go right ahead, sure.
And somewhere in the talk, he said that he made Jesus his best friend.
Yep.
Now, isn't that so awful that your best friend's father is the creator of the universe?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that some best friend?
Yeah.
But Jesus wants more than that. He's our brother,
mm-hmm.
and he's our big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to take care of us as a big brother.
Mm-hmm.
The other comment I have is he spoke about the Holy Spirit and the power of it. Now, I make no bones about it that I've plagiarized your material on your website.
You stole my material.
I stole your material. But it just so happened that it caught my eye that part of the material, can I read it? It's only
do whatever
a quick
you
paragraph.
Want. Jesus, you're a partner.
Jesus.
You know,
oh, that's right. I forgot. I'm a
right?
Praying partner.
That's
I forgot.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Well, anyway, Jesus in his talk to you said, remember Pentecost. My mother and lowly fishermen received the power of the Most Holy Spirit and began to change the world of man.
Mm-hmm.
They hid themselves. They cowered in fear of their lives before the coming of the Holy Spirit. Are you not doing the same? You cower in fear of insanity? What else is new? I tell you now, there is such a wave of love in eternity that it is being released across the four corners of the world. Even as you write my words in you, my new Pentecost for the world of man has begun in earnest. Those disciples, after receiving the Holy Spirit, spread out throughout the world, went through thick or thin, and feared no one, even St. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times,
mm-hmm.
was fearless in his evangelization of our Lord and Savior.
You know, once that Holy Spirit gets into you, it's like a fungus infection. It spreads throughout your whole body, and your whole mind, and your whole spirit.
So
no way to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Even if you wanted to, you can't because you've been touched by love, divine love.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Do you mind?
No.
What is the Holy Spirit?
Well, what I've been told is that the Holy Spirit is the mutual love of the Father and the Son personified. It's a person, a divine person, given to us when Jesus ascended to heaven to dwell in us and teach us truth throughout our whole lifetime.
That's very, very sophisticated.
Well,
it really
it's
is,
very
John.
Simple if you think about it. It's God's love.
It's His love that
in us.
It's a gift that He gave us.
Yes.
And it's part of it's the third person of the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
But in your time, it wasn't called the Holy Spirit, was it?
The Holy Ghost.
It was the Holy Ghost. That's in your
time. And we
had to
be afraid of Him.
That's right. And,
but now, like what Caleb said in the beginning, hey, He's living inside of us. He's alive in there. And if we listen, He'll teach us what life is all about. It's not what we live day to day in this world of man. It's a life filled with timeless love within us. And when I first went to this charismatic conference 25 years ago, that's where I got the beginning of a word gift. He told me then, if you let me, I'll turn you inside out and upside down. And I said to myself, what is this? You know, do I need Prozac? I'm hearing voices. There was no voice, but I could just find words there. I said, what is this? And he said, if you give me 30 days, 1 hour a day in adoration, I said, oh, not adoration. I fall asleep. You give me 30 days.
I still fall asleep.
Yeah, no, 1 hour a day. I'll turn you inside out and upside down. So this year when I went back, it's the same conference I went to 25 years ago. In fact, Ralph Martin was one of the speakers 25 years ago. And he said, now that you're back here after 25 years, take a look at yourself. Haven't I turned you inside out and upside down? I said, you certainly have. You got me so confused. I don't know whether I'm coming or going.
And if anybody ever says to me that John Palmer is upside down and inside out, I'm going to say, yeah, I know.
You know, but that the Spirit, once you say yes, the Spirit takes over. There's one other cut I did at the show, the conference that I really want to get. And I hope I can find it on this little iPod that we have here.
Well, you're doing a great job so far.
Well, thank you. Father Nathanson was one of the speakers, and he did the healing service on Saturday night. And it was just an unbelievable service where they talk about binding and casting out spirits and then filling you with love. He goes on and on and on and on and on. And you know how they end their healing service? A spotlight, the whole room goes dark. A spotlight goes on the other side of the room. And a priest is there carrying the monstrance with Jesus. And Jesus, remember last week, mm-hmm. that's his true presence. That's
right. Yes,
he
we had a
walked
great show.
Through the whole auditorium. And people were just overwhelmed and filled with peace.
Mm.
So the next day before I left, I saw Father Nathanson upstairs in the cafeteria, believe it or not, and I grabbed him. You know me.
I know you.
I went over.
I know you.
I said, Father, I'm from Long Island, the Diocese of Rockville Center. And he said, yeah. And I said, we have a radio show. And I was wondering if you could, in a very short period of time, give us an idea of what you think would be very helpful for the church on Long Island. It's only a minute and a half long. I'm going to put it on, and let's listen to what he said.
Go ahead. Anxious to hear it.
I am too, and I hope it comes up as it should. Now, Father, you got to give me your name again. I'm sorry. Father Trevor.
Father Trevor Nathanson from the Archdiocese of Port of Spain.
And, Father, you were terrific here at the conference, and I have a radio show on Long Island. What would you say is the most important thing for people, Catholics on Long Island, to learn about the power of the Spirit?
Well, I've never been to Long Island to preach. I've preached all over Brooklyn and Queens. But I think, But I think the most necessary thing for the church is to experience renewal in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must have what was given to us at our baptism and our confirmation brought to new life. Because God has fully well blessed us as members of the body of Christ. He has equipped us and empowered us, and it's for us to seek this anointing, this awakening of the Spirit of God, so that we could put to use all that God has made possible, all that God has blessed us with, so that we could build the church, we could renew the church, we could call forth new life, we could raise up sons and daughters and empower our children and grandchildren with this new anointing. For without this new anointing, I dare say the church is going to continue emptying. And it is my prayer that Catholic people wake up and realize that we need revival. Revival must happen today in our churches. So it is my true, real prayer that our Catholic people will awaken to that. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
John, how's that?
That was powerful. And it brought to mind one of the other reasons why I selected Paul. He refused to become part of the silent majority.
Yep.
He was willing to speak out in favor of Jesus and God. And that's what we need today.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what the priest was saying.
That's what Bishop Murphy's talking about. Belonging to Jesus more deeply through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants.
Absolutely.
That's what God wants. And if we do that and allow that, the closing song is, "Let Your Glory Flow."
Wow, you're unbelievable.
And if we can do that, we will just be filled with the Spirit and empowered.
Yes, Lord. Raise up the chosen generation. Yes, Lord. That will march through the land. All of creation is longing for your
Tony, that was the experience I had, just a little piece of it.
John, thank you for sharing that experience. That was very inspirational. I'm sure our listeners are very happy that you shared your experience. And by the way, and I want to thank the listeners for being such loyal listeners. And you're in our prayers constantly, day after day, listeners. And come back next week, you hear? We'd love to have you.
Okay, and that's really the way we're going to end with the song, but I don't know. My word to Catholics, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands up, praise him, and let him in, and he'll change your life.
And he's there to help you, believe me.
Amen. See you next week, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.